Bart Haxton, my friend, who's also the director of the Jackson County Health Department, is on the other end of the line this morning. Hey, Bart, how are you, buddy? You there, Bart? Oh, somehow I lost Bart this morning. We'll have to go see if we can figure out how to get that fixed. News Radio WJPF, it's now 722.
Tom, I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right, Bart, now I got you, buddy. Here, are you still together?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. All right, good. Hey, Bart, first off, thanks for joining us. I was wondering, are we still in Jackson County under a health alert?
Well, we issued the health alert a couple weeks ago. We didn't have a time frame really on the alert. Certainly the conditions that made us create the alert are still there. So I would, for all intents and purposes, I would say yes, we should still feel like we are under an alert and be taking extra precautions.
When I look at your daily press releases, I have a tendency to gravitate towards two numbers. One, the number of positive cases, but I'm starting to watch with a great deal more interest in the active cases number.
Yeah, the active cases number is by far the better number to be watching. That tells you what the level of virus transmission is right now in the community, or at least gives you a better idea of that. And so we've been hovering right around that 400 active case mark for a couple of weeks now. And that really reflects, you know, how many new cases per day we've had. And so the last 2 weeks, we've had about an average of 42 or 43 cases a day, which is really high for us. And we need that to go down, obviously.
32 deaths as well, which is another number we view with a certain level of dread as well. With all the pressure on Thanksgiving and people altering their Thanksgiving plans, if people don't, and there's this, of course, four-day period where there's going to be a lot more, we'll call it rubbing of shoulders, for lack of a better term. If people fail to abide by the COVID regulations, protocols at this point, when would you see a surge in numbers as a result of Thanksgiving if it goes badly? When would you really begin to know, yeah, that's what happened, Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we would start to see an increase in the number of cases by probably late next week, and then for the next couple weeks moving onward.
So with that in mind, the Tier 3 mitigations began Friday. When would we, sans Thanksgiving, begin to know whether the Tier 3 mitigations are working?
Yeah, it would take a couple weeks typically for those numbers to shake out. Hospitalizations and deaths and several other indicators, they tend to lag behind the cases. So we might start to see an inkling several days later, but then really we start to see the true impacts within a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I think that says something when you realize we weren't even halfway through the tier two period before we moved on to more stringent measures.
Yeah, I think, the situation we found ourselves in Jackson County, and I know in many surrounding counties, is not unique to us. It's happening across Illinois. It's happening across the country. We are seeing a sharp increase in cases over the last several weeks, and that is very concerning, especially as we head into the holidays here and people want to be with their friends and family, and there's going to be more gatherings and what that's going to mean as far as more transmission of the virus, unfortunately.
I think some people would say, look, gee whiz, with as many people in Jackson County, how can our system, our healthcare system, become overwhelmed or beginning to be overwhelmed with just 40 patients in the hospital?
Well, the healthcare system in general is designed to operate with small margins on a normal basis. They don't operate with a lot of excess capacity, and that's a nationwide thing. And so, so it doesn't take a whole lot to upset a healthcare system. I know in Jackson County, SIH has done a tremendous job making other beds and other spaces available for taking care of COVID patients and done a lot of things, but there's only so much they can do physically. But then also, as more virus spreads throughout a community, then that impacts everybody, including healthcare workers. And so you have more of those workers who are sick and isolated or on quarantine, and they're not available to help take care of the patients.
And when you've seen this, It's in your press release from yesterday. Last week, the number of new cases held steady after a six-week climb. So it took us a while to get to this plateau. It's an uncomfortable plateau. And I noticed there that you say the number of COVID patients in hospitals locally is at a record high, which, of course, we noted before. And the term you used, and I thought was very accurate, cascading effects to the local healthcare system, as you were just saying. You have two communities who have mask mandates. This has been a subject of considerable contention, enforcement primarily when it comes to protocols, but you have two communities that have said, okay, we've got mask mandates. How effective do you think that has been in keeping your cases at this lower plateau?
Well, certainly the mask mandates help. My hope is that people wear the masks without, such measures in place. But for those that still aren't convinced that masks are a proper way to limit the spread of this virus, then those enforcement mechanisms do help.
So I was wondering what your thoughts were on this change in the listing. They've got cases and probable cases now. Your thoughts on this change of verbiage and this new inclusion?
Sure. And so the state lists confirmed cases and probable cases, and the simple difference between those is the confirmed cases are conducted using the PCR test, the one that's the gold standard of testing. That's the one that's been in wide use. Now they've introduced widespread antigen testing as well, which is a different kind of testing. And for tests that result out through that, they call those probables. We still treat them at public health the same. They're all still a case of COVID to us. We still isolate those that test positive and quarantine their close contacts. So it's really just a matter of semantics. One's a PCR test, one's an antigen test. The antigen tests that are out now are fairly reliable. That's the reason they're including those two different terms, the confirmed and the probables.
You know, it's interesting. I saw a published article, I think loosely, it said SIU got lucky this year. I'm not a big fan of lucky in situations like this. I'm more about be prepared and then you'll be lucky. So, but SIU nonetheless, you know, going back to online learning at John A. Logan College through the colder winter months, the effort at SIU with that many students and that many people coming from that many places, there had to have been a lot of resources and man hours placed into keeping that place safe.
Certainly there were by SIU officials all across campus and also by public health working with them and SIH as well doing testing on campus. It really took a marshaling of a lot of manpower to keep campus safe. And you know, that's important. They're an economic driver here in Jackson County and very important to our community. We need to make sure the students that are coming here feel safe and that their parents feel that they're safe. And that's an effort well worth it. And transmission of the virus, no matter where it is, if it's on campus, that doesn't mean it stays on campus. And so that impacts our community.
You know, you are going to at some point have to come to this new issue. While you're juggling this issue, the issue of vaccines and introducing those into the community and how that's going to be done, I can only half imagine the line, because you'll have two lines. People go, nope, 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 and the people go, where? Let me roll up my sleeve, and then how that's all done. Have you started planning for this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have planning underway. It seems like that we may be getting our first doses of vaccine in mid-December. We're unsure yet how many doses that might be. Those will be earmarked for healthcare workers. And so we've got our plans moving forward. There's a lot of unknowns right now with that planning, of course, since we don't have any vaccine at this point that has an emergency use authorization from the FDA. But once those start getting approved and vaccine starts rolling out to states and counties, then we'll begin doing that by what they call priority groups. So the CDC and others will determine what are the priority groups for receiving the vaccine. And I mentioned healthcare workers being first. That will be followed by first responders, seniors, those in long-term care facilities, other essential workers. And so that way limited amounts of vaccine can be rolled out in an orderly fashion to those that need it the most, and we'll go from there. We're still awaiting a lot of information, so our plans are still fluid at this point.
So, Bart, before I let you go, first, happy Thanksgiving. But with this Thanksgiving element, your last-minute guidance for people and plans this coming four-day weekend?
Sure. I mean, the CDC has been recommending that you celebrate with those in your household only, and so we would echo that recommendation. Certainly, if that is just not feasible for you and your family and you need to feel the need to have a gathering, then please keep it small. If you're gathering inside, you know, open up some windows, get some fresh air in there, allow room for physical distancing. So that's really important. And then have people wear a mask before the meal, after the meal. You practice those things, and also tell people to stay home if they're sick. You don't want them there if they're sick. So do those things that will keep you safer and hopefully avoid transmission of the virus.
Once you've had COVID-19 and you want to return to work, what's the standard for returning to work after you have become ill?
So you would then be released from your isolation from your local health department, and they might do that verbally or in a letter. If your employer requires a letter, they can give you a letter to give your employer. That lets them know that you're free to go about your life and return to work, and certainly your local health department's there to answer any questions on that.